This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
DC for you. DC for you. DC for you. DC for you.
Todd, it's been a crazy month here on DC for you, hasn't it?
Well, October and the creepiness and the horror and looking at the dark side of things is always kind of fun. So
it is.
DC's got plenty of that,
especially where it comes to having to do like massive edits on that last episode.
Wasn't that bad, sir. It wasn't that bad.
It was horrific. But just wait till they hear one that's going to come up next month.
Okay.
Yeah, that one's going to be even more so. But your editing skills are getting a real workout, and people are finding out just how good you really are at all this. So
I appreciate that.
I think it's a win all the way around. But speaking of wins, it's that time of month again, and get your minds out of the gutter. I don't mean that. I mean,
hey-o,
it's time to talk some current events at DC Comics, and boy, have they had some happenings and some news to come out in the month of October. Some stuff that was pretty well expected and other things that were for sure not. And I think at the top of the list of the for sure not expected things is Scott Snyder is headed off of Justice League at issue 39 in January. And he's taking all of his artist buddies with him. Did not see that coming. I don't know if you did or not.
Well, I mean, 39 issues is a pretty solid run.
It is.
We also have to look at, well, it's twice a month. So that's a good almost two-year run. Not quite two full years of him on the title. But as far as volume, that's healthy. We will see if the next writer keeps up the momentum because, in my opinion, Snyder did a great job of restoring Justice League to something that I hadn't been since Geoff Johns had been in the book, in my opinion.
You know, I'm with you on that one. It felt like an event book for the first time in a while. Certainly the first time in Rebirth, because Justice League was easily like one of the weakest titles in Rebirth. In fact, it was utterly skippable under, and I hate to say that because I really like Brian Hitch a lot, but I like him as an artist, and he's kind of just not that great as a writer.
Yeah, that's exactly the same feeling I have, and he's one of my favorite artists, so it was just kind of sad to see the book kind of limp along for a while, but still have great covers and sometimes pretty good art.
Yeah, Tony Daniel was on art on the book for a while, and then you know it changed up here and there. But Snyder's tenure on the book, also counting the No Justice 4-issue miniseries that he did leading into it, that all of that was great. It really felt like Snyder was riffing on a combination of Silver Age DC and Justice League Unlimited, because he used that lineup and really kind of those personalities for the characters. He was tapping into that old DC animated universe to give them their each individual voices and just individual lives. I really appreciated him doing that. So the story he's going out on is absolutely epic. I have enjoyed every issue of it. It's one of those that I will say one little criticism of it is that I think it's going to read better in the trade or the omnibus than it does month to month. But I think when you string that whole story together, it's one of the better Justice League stories of the last decade.
Oh, sure, without question. And lots of things have been spinning out of it. The You're the Villain, and some bigger storylines. Definitely that big, epic kind of dealing with the aftermath of the Source Wall, using characters like the Starman, Will Payton Starman, guys we hadn't seen in a while, a lot of Martian Manhunter stuff. Just good all around. I'd like to get to be a little more current than I am with it, but I know that it's waiting for me to get caught up.
Yeah, what's going to be great, though, is that you're going to get to read a bunch of issues right back to back, and it's going to feel like this like sprawling epic. I mean, that's going to – honestly, that's going to be the better way to read it than having gone like month to month. So I think you're in for a real treat whenever you do the full catch-up on it. The artwork is outstanding as well. I mean, you're flipping between Jorge Jimenez and Francis Manapole at this point. So, yeah, it's good stuff.
I think Snyder just writes better for trade, or reads better in trade historically for me when I go back and read his classic Batman. Sometimes the month-to-month stuff I would get a little frustrated with, although it varied storyline to storyline. But yeah, going back and binging the trades, or at least the stories, was always very strong. So it's also nice to see him kind of rebound after Metal had somewhat mixed reactions, although the storyline repercussions of Metal are going to be around for a long time.
Oh, absolutely. And you and I were both pretty high on Metal at the time, and I think it's one that's held up for me, but it is a very different kind of story, certainly in a wilder vein than maybe some would have wanted from a Batman-centric story. Now, we know that Snyder's leaving at 39, but DC did not call it a final issue, so that suggests to me that they are going to go ahead and count to 40 and just continue on. So who's going to take over? Who's going to be the new creative team, or who would you like to see as the new creative team on Justice League? I mean, I've got a couple names that are floating around and make me think there might be some to one of them, maybe not, but it's all speculation at this point. So you got anybody that you think would be good on this book?
Well, before he took over, or was announced as taking over Batman, Tynion would have been my pick.
Oh, yes.
Just all his good work on Justice League Dark and his previous run on Detective. He just has the team dynamics down so well. So this is the other answer I usually give in situations like these. Tom Taylor would kill on Justice League, so I would like to see him get it. But who knows? He's doing a lot of Marvel stuff right now, too.
Or if Tom Taylor's recent work is any indication, he may just kill the Justice League.
Deceased is a very strong book, and I urge people to read it because I think it's brilliant.
But you know, he's got Suicide Squad coming up. He's going to be relaunching that book, and it looks interesting.
Yeah, that'll be pretty high-profile stuff, so good. Good on him. I've got an unusual pick, I guess.
Oh, go for it.
I would like to see Mark Russell get a shot with a big title like that.
That would be wild, especially after everything that happened with him at DC. But he's still working for them. He's still doing a lot of work for them. And the stuff
I've... Year of the Villain stuff, too.
Yeah, I've read some of it, and, you know, he could potentially handle it. And, you know, I think it's possible that Tynion could be taking over Justice League anyway, because I really feel like Justice League Dark is getting stealth canceled in January. Mm-hmm. That the solicit for it really sounded like an ending, like a hard this is over. Justice League Odyssey should follow close behind, and then Tynion could just segue right into the main Justice League title and write that alongside Batman. And it would actually create some of that synergy that they're talking about. Because it was mentioned by Tom King and by Tynion in separate interviews that they were wanting to create a little more connective tissue between Batman and the rest of the line. And if you got the same writer writing Batman and Justice League, that would do it. I would think that he'd have a pretty clear through line of both of those. And we know that he works pretty closely with Peter Tomasi, who's doing a pretty good job over on Detective Comics right now. So that's
another fine writer. I expect we'll get this announcement sooner rather than later. So if you're hearing this and it turns out that it was somebody completely off the wall like Frank Miller, we're sorry.
Oh, God. 2019 Frank Miller writes Justice League. And no one ever bought Justice League again. You know what? He'll get John Romita Jr. to draw it.
Of course he will.
hard pass on every bit of that. One name that jumped out at me a little bit was Scott Snyder tagged a bunch of people on Twitter as his creative force on Justice League for the most recent issue. And this could have just been a mistake. But among those names was Jason Aaron.
That's interesting.
And I was like, did he mean to do that? Or is this a slip of what's to come? Because the idea of Jason Aaron coming over to DC and taking over Justice League is kind of like checking all my boxes.
Yeah. Well, he did just finish up. He's in the process of finishing up Thor. He's co-writing Valkyrie. He has threatened to bring back some of his Image stuff within the next year, including Southern Bastards and The Goddamned. So we will see. Yeah, and he's doing Sea of Stars for Image now. So he's not Marvel exclusive by any means.
Yeah, he's a. I wanted to say that he had some kind of exclusive contract, but it's exclusive in the same way the DC guys are, because they get to go over to Image and do creator-owned stuff. Mm-hmm. But if Jason Aaron's contract is up with Marvel and he decides to go more freelance and get some DC work, I know a couple fanboys right about here are going to be real happy about it.
I know at least one, so yeah. Maybe he will start buying and reading comics again if that happens.
I would be very into Jason Aaron, pretty much Jason Aaron doing anything in DC, but if he got Justice League, that'd be a hell of a book. His Avengers has been awesome. So
absolutely. Making me care about characters like Ghost Rider. So
Robbie,
that's no small feat.
Making me care about Robbie Reyes Ghost Rider.
Yeah, that things. Ghost Rider. Yeah. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That is an accomplishment. So I would be very excited if it was Jason Aaron. Now but there are big things on the horizon because as we know, Scott Snyder is not done at DC. He's just moving off of Justice League and he's teasing something big. And we know that he's got a new project with Greg Capullo coming up that they are calling a spiritual sequel to Metal. Now, there are some of these one-shots that are coming out, these dark multiverse one-shots. Mm-hmm. One just dropped this week that was a look at Batman Nightfall. And whenever these were presented to us, it was in the guise that they would be just that, self-contained one-shot stories that, you know, don't really have any bearing on anything. It's basically like a new Elseworlds kind of thing. And it's a cool concept. But as it turns out, these things are actually in continuity because they share a through-line character with another miniseries that's running very much in DC continuity right now, Flash Forward. A character named Tempest Fugit appears in both of these books, looking identical, speaking in the same manner, and talking about the same things, about the dark multiverse invading the main DC multiverse. And in the Nightfall one-shot that just came out, we have the first mention of a new crisis on the horizon.
Yes, and it has been teased. Places like New York Comic Con did say that a crisis was coming soon, or at least coming in the near future, and crisis is kind of hot on everybody's minds because of the DC CW.
Yeah, our DCW is bringing the heat with the crisis on Infinite Earths, and all the episodes of Arrow and Flash so far have just been like pinging my mother box. I don't know if they've been doing that for you, but they have for me.
When I've been able to watch them, my DC app, or I'm sorry, the CW app, is not working with the latest Apple update. You get to the first commercial break, and it never comes out of that commercial break. It just freezes, goes back to the beginning. It's very problematic. So I just said, screw it. I love these shows. I subscribe to them on iTunes. So I'm paying for Flash and Arrow this year.
Oh, no.
I know. I was just that frustrated.
You know,
will not be spoiled. I will have my shows. Darn it! And I guess I could just watch on the laptop or something. But
yeah,
my family watches these shows together.
You know what? It's great family viewing. It really is. And with that, like the whole crisis on Infinite Earths happening there, it does seem like it's a great time for DC to delve into that and bring about a new crisis. Now, what would they call it? Who knows? But I think that it's pretty much the writing's on the wall that Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo are going to be doing it.
I think it's going to be the Dark Crisis.
That is a name that I could see them bringing out, but I would hate it.
The Damian Dark Crisis.
Oh,
that
would God. Be really bad. There's a character no one asked for, but you know what? But if Scott Snyder could make any character work, it could probably be some Damian Dark. So long as it's the Neil McDonough version of him, I don't really want to see basic ass comics version of Damian That's Dark. I really do think that Snyder and Capullo are going to do a new Crisis. I would be very happy if they called it something like Omni-Crisis or, I don't know, Meta-Crisis. There we go. That would be pinging Tim. That would ping Tim's radar. Now, all of that said, it does seem like, okay, this new Crisis could, you know, maybe conceivably push us into a future version of the DC Universe that we haven't really had yet. And that is where all the characters that we know and love get all those years back that were taken from them and they age up. Like everybody starts to age like they should have all along. And that would lend some credence to the idea behind the rumored 5G or fifth generation.
Right.
Where the rumors that are flying around out there say that all the main Justice League members, all of the heroes who've basically been in their current identity since the Silver Age will be taken out or taken off the playing field in some form or manner, be it death or retirement or faked death and retirement in the case of Batman, and replaced with legacy characters, but not necessarily the legacy characters that we may suspect. So the big ones are being that Luke Fox is allegedly going to become Batman, that Cassie is going to become Wonder Woman, and that Jonathan Kent, who has been aged up recently, is going to become the new Superman. All of that I'm actually kind of on board with. I think it's worth a shot to see just how good it can be. Like, and I think it all depends on creative team and what kind of good, like what kind of stories they come up with. If they come up with something good, it'll stick. If they don't, then it'll probably last about a year, maybe.
Yeah. And the collective fanboy nation screams in agony and things come back or sales tank or what, but come on, it's comics. Nothing makes sense. Nothing matters. Give it a shot. Try something new. Yeah, and then if it doesn't, we can just, wipe the dry erase board and start over.
You know, I saw a very interesting, or a couple of interesting rumors floating around on a certain website. I don't believe I got to mention its name here. I saw it today mentioned that
I cut myself, and the substance that's coming out of my veins is cold.
Oh, they're going to carry me out on a log after this one, or carry me out on a rail. That's what it is. The son of Digger Harkness, a.k.a. Captain Boomerang,
right,
is alleged to become the new Flash. And that would tie into things that, of course, happened to him in his introductory story back in Identity Crisis.
Identity Crisis, yes.
So that would be a real throwback if they actually went for that. And that's something that, of course, is in no way confirmed. It's just something that's floating around out there. I don't necessarily hate it. He's an interesting character. He's had a lot of really odd things happen to him, namely being killed by the Black Lantern version of his father back in Blackest Night. But as it does kind of seem right now, Blackest Night and Brightest Day, all of that, not really part of the Rebirth continuity. Which, yeah, that sucks, but it
it might until not. We get those years back or whatever. But
yeah,
they can do it. They can do anything. They can.
I was
undo.
I was actually kind of hoping it was going to be the girl maybe from Justice League China who became the new Flash, because she's been in the proper Flash book for a little while now. And I actually have kind of come to like her as a character, the way Joshua Williamson writes her. So there was potential there. I also think there's potential for Wally West Kids to jump back into this, because they are about to make their appearance over in Flash Forward. So Wally,
yes,
Wally is about to find his kids. And I think that that's going to be a big crux moment for the DC Universe. I think that's going to restore a lot of what's been lost prior to Rebirth, and what was missing from Wally West's return. So there's a lot going on there. But do you think this 5G thing is legit? Do you think there's anything to it? And what do you think about the stuff that's rumored so far?
Well, it looked like they're streamlining the history of the DC Universe in their eras. So much like Jonathan Hickman X-Men, these are the big events that changed and shaped the X-Men. Here's the timeline, the official timeline, at least, of the 2019-2020 edition of the DC Universe. And there's something set up for the future, for the next gen. But we will see, because we had the Golden Age, and then we had the Silver Age, where a lot of new named heroes took over, and writers created their own spin on characters like Green Lantern and Flash. But Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman were just kind of updated, brought to the times, but their identities didn't change. And here we're talking about a wholesale, every identity is going to be replaced with a new version, you know, a 21st century version of the heroes. So we'll see. I mean, if they want to do it, they can do it, and they can walk it back easily, so why not?
Yeah, and I think one other event that's about to happen over in Superman is going to play a pretty big role in this possible new future, and that is that Superman is about to reveal his identity to the world in Brian Bendis's Superman. Of course, this has been done before. The twist here, of course, is that Superman is going to choose to reveal his identity rather than just being outed by someone. So to me, that tends to have a little bit more possibility of sticking around if the hero is the one who outs himself. Now, that does, according to Brian Bendis, it opens up a lot of new stories that they could possibly tell, including a villain who's going to switch sides, who's going to break good, if you will, after learning that Superman and Clark Kent are one and the same. Now, there's a myriad of possibilities of who that could be. I kind of think it's going to wind up being either Killer Frost Livewire or Toy Man. I think one or both of them either flips or just retires from the supervillain game. Or it could be the new villain, Red Cloud, who's had an interesting relationship with Clark Kent and Superman since her debut.
Yeah, good villain introduced in that first Action Comics, I think, in 1000, is that what I'm thinking? And she's kind of had this story build up.
Yeah, it was in 1001 when she made her debut. And you kind of get the feel that, yeah, she can do the classic villain thing, and she certainly is, you know, she's not a good person necessarily, or a good, you know, a good guy character. But there's more to her than just like straight up super villainy as well. She works as a reporter at the Daily Planet in her in her day job. And she is legit trying to do a good job at that. So there is more to her, and I think once she I think she's probably the strongest candidate there. I think once she learns that Clark and Superman are the same, she's gonna flip.
And plus there's the Bendis ownership of her, so
yes.
Why not? Yeah, it makes sense.
Now what do you think about him revealing his identity? You think this is a good idea?
No.
I don't, but I'm a grumpy old man. You know, I like Secret Identities, and I feel like Marvel Cinematic Universe and its need to have all these actors' faces on the screen at all times is one of the reasons why Secret Identities are not in vogue. But we as readers and are getting our escapism and our fantasy is seeing, okay, well, I could live this double life. You know, that's more interesting to me than somebody who has to, especially to me, where, you know how I've always subscribed to the idea that with Batman, Bruce Wayne is the mask, Batman is the real guy.
Yes.
But in Superman, it's still the opposite to me. It's Clark Kent is the real guy, and Superman is the mask, you know, is the brave face that he has to put on. He's still Ma and Pa Kent's boy. And yes, the character has grown, and we have different interpretations of him, but I still like that. And that doesn't mean he can't be, but I still like the fact that he would be able to go home and have a refuge. And here, yeah, he could do that. We're getting rid of his work life, I think, is the big point here. And it's perhaps because newspapers are becoming less and less relevant in American society.
There are a lot of different ways they could take that story. The cover for, I think it's Superman 19 or 20 that was revealed in the January solicits was definitely homaging that cover, I believe, of Action Comics that was the end of Alan Moore's Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow with Superman flying off and everyone waving. You kind of have that same thing going on in this cover by Ivan Reis, and it's absolutely gorgeous. I think that was, you know, a way of them saying this is where we're going to be waving goodbye to this version of Superman. And Clark, in a kind of a twist of things, is going to wind up being the version of himself that he winds up being more often. He's going to be able to put away the godlike figurehead of Superman and say, no, this is who I really am. And now the whole world gets to see me for that. Does it mean he gets to continue on as a reporter? I would say probably not. I can't imagine how that would necessarily work, but it would tie in heavily to what's been happening over in Greg Rucka's absolutely brilliant Lois Lane book and clear up some of the problems that have come up around her when a picture of her and Superman in a very intimate embrace was beamed to the public. And everybody's like throwing her. I mean, it's an interesting story because here's Lois getting thrown under the bus and nobody's saying a word about Superman.
Well, you know, when it happens, when there's, say, an alleged extramarital affair and the woman is slut-shamed, but the guy is kind of, historically, right?
Yeah.
Not blamed as much. Because, why? Because we treat boys, men like, well, you're only as good as your options, but that's not fair.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it is a brilliantly done story. I'm absolutely loving it, and it's making me really hungry for a new question title. Hey, we're getting one from Jeff Lemire and Bill Sienkiewicz.
That'll be great.
The Many Deaths of Vic Sage. You got to say, that is one that I'm highly anticipating over on Black Label. But speaking of highly anticipated things, and getting back to some of the teases of Rebirth, of the original like teases, when we all remember Aquaman proposing to Mira on the beach, it was a beautiful scene. Turns out Mira's pregnant. And she's going to have Arthur Curry's child. So there's a big question hanging over that for me. Is it going to work out better this time?
Right. Well, in the 70s, and when Aquaman had maybe a lower profile, his child was killed by Black Manta. And we will see if that happens here, because I don't think they're necessarily interested in
revisiting, retelling stories that are no longer part of continuity necessarily, although they've done things like that with, say, Barbara Gordon, or, you know, this is the new continuity. We have to bring these classic stories up to date. I think things are going to be a little different this time.
So I think
we've seen different aspects of Superman as a father and Batman as a father. So let's get Arthur, who is, I would say, better suited for it than Superman, at least in recent years. Looking at the Geoff Johns characterization of Arthur, I think that character would be a great father. Now, I'm not current on the Aquaman of these days, but the Johns Abnett hero, I would read that, you know, him as a father.
I think you're really going to like Kelly Sue DeConnick's version. I think you're really going to enjoy that story once you are able to get to it. I have absolutely been just loving it. That first arc did take a little bit to get going, but it ends
the
on
amnesia.
Once they're past that, and yeah, it is only for an arc. It's like six issues, and Arthur's memories are restored. All the stuff that we love about Aquaman is coming roaring back, and Kelly Sue DeConnick writes one hell of a mirror. So I am absolutely loving what she's doing on Aquaman right now. I think it's tremendous. And I think this is going to work out better this time around, because it's about time for the kids to catch a break. You know, the kids need to be able to do something that really makes people want to keep reading about them. And to close this episode out, we got to talk a little bit about one of our favorite shows. Speaking of the kids being all right, Old Titans on the DC Universe is having one hell of a season.
I got to tell you, it's the show I watch as soon as it drops on a Friday, and we can watch it. We wait usually the next day or when our time window is, but we always find time on Friday night to watch Titans. Just it's that good, hits the DC nostalgia and DC love for me. And unlike the CW app, which drops the next day, you know, it's we're getting it streaming on DC Universe. It's out every Friday, and then on the following Thursday, you get a recap of it on DC Daily, and that's pretty good too. So this has been a very strong season. I think once they kind of figured out where they were going, bringing in Deathstroke and his kids, because it's kind of the I will say this is a loose adaptation of Judas Contract, maybe some other things going on, along fused with the Geoff Johns Teen Titans run. Really loving the development of Dick Grayson Nightwing. Jason Todd has been kind of a second star of this show. I never thought I would have enjoyed a Jason Todd especially in a show where he's not necessarily, you know, we don't necessarily think of Jason with the Teen Titans, although he's briefly had done some stuff with them in the post Perez, but still Wolfman years. So I remember that, but he's one of the most interesting characters on this run.
By far. Like, I have really enjoyed this take on Jason Todd. Huge surprise and a welcomed one. Some of his fight scenes are pretty badass too.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much all the fight scenes have been great. Like, they're taking what we love most about Arrow at its peak and really just like ramping that up, because they can go
way
more hardcore with the fight scenes on Titans, and they do. It's fitting though. It really works. And you know, at first I wasn't real high on the version of the Deathstroke uniform that they were using. It felt like it might be a little clunky, but it's actually working out real well.
It doesn't bug me.
None at all anymore. Like, I'm fully in it. This is just Deathstroke to me. And the guy that's playing, man, he is good.
Asai Morales.
I'm loving just how cold he is. He's just like, he is, you know, ice water in this guy's veins. He is exactly the version of Deathstroke that I wanted to see on screen. Their version of Dr. Light was kind of funny.
I wasn't nuts about that, especially the costume.
Costume was pretty bad. But I started to feel like it was meant to be. I started to feel like, you know what, they meant this to be as cheesy and dumb as it looks. And They did play up his genius level, like he has a genius level intellect, but he's also, you know, he's a psychopath.
And, yeah, he's a knucklehead. Yeah.
So there's more to that. But yeah, of course, the big tease this season is for Nightwing. I am so ready for Brendan Thwaites to just be suited up as that character. I feel like he has really grown into the role of Dick Grayson. He was good last season. He is great this season. I think that he is every bit the version of that character that I hoped to see on screen. And this show is doing a fantastic job of making me care about other characters that I've just never really thought that much about. Like, I never gave a shit about Hawk and Dove, and now I love seeing
them. No, me either.
I love seeing them every week. They're great. No,
they got that down. Yeah, great dynamic, and enjoy that she's kind of been a proxy for Barbara Gordon and her relationship with Dick. But their personalities are really strong. They're both very attractive people. And it's been a nice feel for them, because the Titans show is not allowed to use Wally or Roy Harper because of their connections to Flash and Arrow TV shows. So we have Hawk and Dove, who canonically are part of the Titans, but not this version of Dove. But so it's kind of rewriting history. It's its own thing. Seems to work okay for me. Donna Troy is, to me, the second best character on the show, honestly,
I agree with that. I've really liked her, but she may be quickly replaced by one of two new characters who've just been introduced, one being Connor Kent, Superboy, who I've only seen his debut episode, but my God, it is spot on. I loved every second of it.
Yeah, it's almost straight from a Young Justice cartoon, but personality is good. Crypto, oh my goodness.
Crypto steals.
I'm so attached to Crypto, yeah.
I want that dog, man. Crypto stole the show. I was like, I've never seen a dog. I've seen plenty of dogs like emote before, but my God, this dog has got personality for days. He is so just adorable and yet terrifying when his eyes glow red. So you're like,
yeah, that's my untouchable characters. You cannot kill Crypto.
They better not. Crypto has become invaluable in one episode. That is absolutely wonderful. I've actually gotten intrigued by what they're doing with Starfire as well. They're teasing Blackfire coming up. So there's good stuff going on here. I love the dynamic between Starfire and Donna Troy. I think they are such a good team. I would watch a detective agency show about them. I think that's as glowing a review as we can possibly give Titans right now. Everybody's got to go watch it. Season 2 is absolutely firing on all cylinders.
So, yeah, not enough Beast Boy. I think Beast Boy is the only underused character. I don't think they've got him quite right just yet.
That's fair, and I'm really I don't want to say it because it was spoiler, but there is a character who died, and I was a little sad about it because I was hoping
you were sad about it.
Oh, I know. I wanted to call you immediately. I was like, how upset are you right now?
I was bad. First time we saw. Anyway, yeah, I've said too much. But speaking of characters like Connor Kent, first live action Connor Kent, first live action Jason Todd, they're doing really well. And one more thing on Connor Kent: if you squint just a little bit, he looks like Tom Welling.
He does. He favors Tom Welling just a little bit. And after seeing how good the effects they created around him were, you can't tell me we can't have a good live action Superman series right now.
Oh. Come on, yeah.
It would be easy to do it if you gave it a budget like what they've done for Titans. Just make the show. Just give us a Superman show. It'll be great. You know what? That Cameron Cuff kid from Krypton ain't got nothing to do right now.
Yeah, no kidding.
Get him on one of these shows. He's great.
Isn't there a song, "I'm My Own Grandpa"?
Yes, there. Someone's there. Someone is their own grandpa. That would, oh my God, that would just be too freaking hilarious. It would never not be funny. But that's about it for this month on DC4U. Of course, we've talked all about the horror comics and the scary side of DC comics all through the month of October. Next week, we are going to be on a brief hiatus. We're going to have our off week next week. So you'll be looking for other stuff to come out instead of us. But there's plenty here on the old Pop Network to listen to. So make sure you tune in to all the great comics and movies, TV shows, and all the wrestling stuff, too. It's a hell of a time to be a wrestling fan now that we got AEW and NXT on the same night. And I know that my watching time is limited, so having to make decisions is tough.
Yeah, you know, I had so much more free time during the Monday Night War.
God.
That's so much less expected of me as a person.
Wasn't it great having no responsibility? What was that like? I forget.
And no money. That's the thing.
Yeah. We've traded one for the other. There's always a catch. Like you always get the one thing you need, but they're going to take something from you. But yeah. We got all that going on. So if you want to follow the musings of the two of us, you can get on the Twitter and the Instagram machine, or the Insta, as the kids say. You can find me at Russell_Sellers. You can find Todd at?
At Todd Weber Guitar on Twitter, at Guitars of Green on Instagram, although I am dormant on Instagram right now. I need to get on that, but I need to come up with a new theme, because unless I'm wearing a different Hawaiian shirt every day, I tend to avoid Instagram.
Man,
I just said Instagram. Jeez, I sound 70 years old.
I really do miss the Hawaiian shirt posts. I was getting used to them being there every day. I saw a Ghostbusters.
Every August.
I saw a Ghostbusters saw one, and I was like, Todd needs this.
I do want that shirt, yeah.
I was like, Todd needs to be wearing this right now.
Maybe if it comes down in price, it's $65 right now.
That was insane.
That's a lot of money, a lot of scroll for a shirt.
Yeah,
I have paid more for shirts. Don't get me wrong. right now,
we've all dropped that kind of trim, I think, on on random things before, and thought later, man, should I have done that? Yeah, probably should have. I'm glad I did.
Of course I should have.
Yeah. But let's be real. We know we should have. But anyway, you can find all of that. And then come back next month, in the month of November. It's going to be the last month for this show for a little bit. We're going to be closing out this first season with a month dedicated to Green Lantern. We're going to celebrate the 15th anniversary of Green Lantern Rebirth with our good buddy Greg Phillips. We're going to take a look at the first appearances of the four corpsmen, the four main Green Lanterns of Earth, and we're going to take a look at Green Lantern, the animated series, the short-lived, unfortunately, just gone too soon series that you can watch right now on DC Universe. So you should definitely go do that. Won't take you that long because, as we said, it only lasted for one season. Produced by Bruce Timm of Batman the Animated Series fame, and is just one hell of a good show. But on that note, when we come back, that's what we will be doing to close out this season. Thank you again for listening to DC4U. We will see you all next time.
DC4U.
DC for you.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop Feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content, offering tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceMination.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth search projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceMination.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceMination.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hey yo, it is your manager Todd Weber here talking about all the latest and greatest happenings on PlaceToBeNation.com, including our podcasts. Check out the Place to Be Nation pop feed, of which this show is a part of. We've got weekly shows, that's right, shows that drop every week, including DC for You, which you've just listened to. The Hard Traveling Fanboys drop every Friday. They continue their annual Walking Dead month with guest Jennifer Smith as they continue... No, they count down the worst episodes in the TV show's history. And there are some. This Week in the NFL tells everything about This Week in the NFL every week. Siblings Kevin and Mary host the Brother-Sister Rewatch podcast, easy for me to say. On episode 21, we've got The Office Season 3, episodes 13 and 14, including Ben Franklin. As we're in October, Horror Month, Scott Criscolo continues his look at the classic Universal Monsters in the latest edition of Pop Goes the Classics with 1941's The Wolfman. Pop Goes the Movies checks out Zombieland, that was Andy and Jenny. NBA Team, Adam and Andrew preview regular NBA season. The Kings are off to a terrible start. On our newest show here on Pop, it's Diamond Conversations. Baseball show. Premier episode features an interview with the 2006 first round pick of the San Diego Padres, Matt Antonelli. And a special holiday edition of Laugh In Theater just for Halloween. It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, Andy, Jenny, Miranda. Check it out. Over at the Place to Be Wrestling feed, I was a guest on the latest episode of the Place to Be podcast, Mothership. We talked about Royal Rumble 1990. On latest Place to Be Nation, PTBN Extreme Three-Way Dance, JT, John, and Jenny continue their ECW adventure with three episodes of ECW Hardcore TV from May 1994. I was 22. On main event, 135, Scott, Nate, and Steve Willie welcome Jordan Duncan to talk about the past 2 weeks of programming, including the Wednesday Night Wars and SmackDown. In row one, seat one, Ben hosts actor John Keating for an in-depth interview about his wrestling fandom, career, and life in Los Angeles. And we had a new episode of Talkin' WCW featuring Sting, the Icon. Don't forget to check out our website, PlaceToBeNation.com, each and every day. Lots of articles, including Glenn's Weekly Walk, Campus Hot Takes, all kinds of stuff, especially as Halloween is coming up upon us. New content every single day. Shop at www.placetobenation.com/Amazon, and we get a cut. Helps us defray the costs. Keeps us going because we're all doing this for free. All right. Love you guys. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to DC4U.